Do you not know, foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was Abraham, our father, not justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study of Hebrews with the conclusion to the message, What Did Abraham See? Now, Pastor.
Open your eyes, look toward heaven. I'm going to give you a visual, man. He says, look toward heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. He was living with a knife in his hand with the promises of God in his heart. He believed with all of it. Now, let me give you one more. Genesis 15, 13. God said to Abraham, certainly, Abraham, your descendants will be strangers in a strange land that's not theirs, meaning Egypt, remember? And he said, they're going to serve him for 400 years. Now, as for you, Abraham, you shall go to your fathers in peace. I tell you, had he killed his son, would he have gone at the end of his life in peace? No. He says, oh no, at the end of your life, you're going to go to your fathers in peace and you're going to be buried in a good old age. He lived and believed and he stood on. He didn't walk by what he was seeing. He walked by faith, and faith sees the invisible. Amen. Now, look at verse 11. Here he is, and Abraham he's getting ready to plunge that dagger into him, man. And it says, and the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, our father of the multitudes, father of the multitudes. I love it. He said, here I am. He said, hey, don't lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I, the knowing one, knew all things, know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Why did God stop the test? Really? I mean, think about that. Why? I'm going to tell you, the very moment when Abraham took that knife, God knew his heart. He knew what he was thinking. He knew that he was not a double-minded man. He knew that he was not unstable in all of his ways. He knew that he did not waver. He believed God. And the moment he had that knife, no, God said, no, that test is over. See, in God's eyes, faith won. In other words, Hebrews 11, 6, it is impossible to please God without faith. Amen? And he who cometh to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's what Abraham did, loved one. Listen, and I want you to look at something for a minute. Why did Abraham obey? I want you to go, just hold your place, but go back to Hebrews 11, 19, and look at this with me. Abraham, the reason it says concluding, that's a big word that you should look up, okay, and study it out. He calculated, man, he added it all up, if you will, concluding that God was able. Do you believe God is able? Do you believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think according to the power who works in you? Do you believe that God is not only able, but he's always faithful? So did Abraham. He says he believed that God was able to raise Isaac up, even from the dead, from which he also received Isaac in a figurative sense. In other words, figuratively speaking, like a resurrection. Man, Abraham believed the promises of God are true, and therefore, the thing is, if I'm going to kill Isaac, if I have to do it, God has got to do something to bring back him because all the promises are in him. So by faith, he did that. And what's interesting is that he believed in the resurrection of the dead, and there had not been any resurrection in the Bible up to his time, in the history that we know of. Think about that. He believed in the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead before we did, before the New Testament. Wow. And then it says something happened. In verse 13, here comes again, what did Abraham see? Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a substitute, a ram. It was caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went, he took the ram and offered it up for the burnt offering instead of his son. Now, verse 8, where it says, Abraham says, hey, the Lord will provide for himself a lamb. It just happened right there. Amen. So it came to pass. But listen, what did Abraham really see right there? Something that was not seen till way into the book of Hebrews, and that is the substitutionary sacrifice for man's sin, because we're sinners. Amen? So it was teaching that right there. And Abraham, look what he did. Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, our Jehovah Jireh. Remember that song we used to sing in the 70s? You know? And it says, and the Lord will provide, as it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Now listen, if I had been Abraham, I would have not called that place God would provide. I mean, I would have called it the worst mountain I'd ever been on. Amen? You know, a mountain of agony and torment and toil and sweat and grief and tears and heartache. I mean, I'd have named it different things, but he didn't do that. Abraham gave it its name. He said, oh no, I got it. I got it. The Lord will provide. In other words, he's going to provide someone for all mankind who will take my place and pay for the sins of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he saw right there. It says, the mount of the Lord. Where is that? Well, we know where it's at. It's Golgotha. Okay, it's the place where Jesus was crucified, there for the sins of the world. Now, remember what happened there? It's the same place Abraham is right now. What happened to Jesus? Let me give you the scripture. In John 19, 17, it says, and Jesus bearing or carrying his cross, he went to a place called the place of a skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. Now, the skull, of course, is a symbol of death, and Golgotha means cranium, okay? In Latin, it would be Calvary. You know, you attend, you are a part of Calvary Chapel. That's where the name Calvary Chapel, by the way, comes from. Is from that word. Now, look at verse 15 with me. We've seen the test. Now let's look at the blessing. And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham the second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord. Why? Well, because you've done this thing, you have not withheld your son, your only son. Now look what God says he'll do. Blessing, I'm going to bless you. In other words, I'm going to increase you like never before. Multiplying, I'm going to multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And now we're going to add one more, something that God promised, and the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. What does that mean? Possess the gate of their enemies. It's speaking of the day when Jesus is crucified and he defeats all principalities and powers, sin, death, hell, the grave, the devil. Amen? And he goes, and what's going to happen now? And in your seed, Abraham, did you notice it didn't say seeds? This is more than just Isaac. Galatians 3:16, seed is singular. It is speaking of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who comes from Abraham's lineage. Amen? So he says, in your seed, how many people are going to be blessed? All the nations on earth shall be blessed. Why? Here it comes. Because you obeyed my voice. The word obeyed, first mention, again, there's another first mention right here. You obeyed my voice. And we need to obey the voice of God. Remember in the study of Hebrews when we first started out, Hebrews 1:2, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. Well, we need to hear him, amen? What did the Holy Spirit say in Hebrews 3:7? It says, the Holy Spirit said, today, right now, this moment, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as in the day of rebellion. Come on, don't do that. Do what God says. And that's exactly what Abraham did. He obeyed. Now, as far as Scripture records for you and me, this is the last time that God speaks personally that we have record of to Abraham. And it closes him out in a sense. So what started out in the chapter 12 of Genesis, the Ur of the Chaldees, it ends right here. Now listen to me. Abraham's faith was solid. It was unwavering. And Abraham proved his faith. He proved that he believed the promises of God. And loved one, all of us do the same thing. We either do prove it or we don't. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, the fact is faith is always proved by action on our part. Isn't it? I mean, you either believe what God says and act upon it, or you don't do that. Remember Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. That's how we live in this world. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, with all that being said, James tells us about faith. Let me read it to you. James 2:17, thus also faith by itself, or faith alone, if it doesn't have works, is dead. In other words, what did he just say? Verbal faith is not enough. You follow me? Dead faith is profession without practice. It's just words. You know, we don't want that kind of faith. Faith without works cannot be called faith, loved one. Now, James 2:18, someone will say, well, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Can faith alone be seen? No, you can't. It's impossible. Faith is invisible. So a faith that is not demonstrated cannot be seen. You can say all day long, I believe that, you know, that we should be servants of the Lord and serve him someplace in the church. Well, do you? It's easy to say that, isn't it? I believe in tithing. I'm a cheerful giver. Where's your checkbook? never mind. No, listen, faith is not invisible. You remember in Mark's Gospel chapter 2 when those four or five guys put their buddy, the paralyzed guy, on that cot and went to where Jesus was preaching in somebody's house. I think it was Peter's. And they couldn't get in because of the people. What did they do? Well, they just went up on a ladder, tore the roof completely off, and then dropped the cot right down in front of Jesus. And it says, and when Jesus saw their faith can be seen, but it always comes by doing. You believe what God says. Now, with all of that being said, let me continue. But do you not know, I'm reading from James, do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was Abraham, not our father, not justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. So you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Now, quickly, do works save us? No. James is talking about what salvation, when you're saved, it produces. And if you are saved, you work for the Lord. Amen? You want to work for the Lord. So Abraham, he wasn't saved right there because he sacrificed Isaac. Abraham was saved in Genesis 15. Remember? Genesis 15, verse 6. When? God brought him out and said, look at the stars. Look at the stars. So your descendants be. And it says, Abraham believed. That was it. He didn't do one thing but believe. That's the only way you can be saved. He believed. And it says, God says, I account that for righteousness. You believe me, now you're justified in my sight. And you say, well, but he was also circumcised. That's how he was saved. No, it wasn't. Genesis 17, he was saved before that. In other words, he was saved before he's ever baptized, right? There you go. All right. Now, with all that being said, quickly, what does Genesis 22 show us? It shows us that faith, Abraham's faith, was action. He rose up. Man, he saddled that donkey. He cut the wood. He got the knife. He got the fire. He was getting ready to slay his son with the knife, and he heard an angel from heaven. Now listen, faith and action are never to be separated. Never. You can't. Now, I want you to look back quickly. We're just about through, but hold on. This is very, very important, loved one. Look back to verse 4 with me. Again, in Genesis 22. Genesis 22, 4. Then on the third day, boy, that's an important day, isn't it? Then on the third day, Abraham, what did he see? Look what he did. He lifted his eyes and he saw something. He saw the place afar off. What did Abraham see? I look and I say, oh, Lord. Abraham, he lifted up his eyes and he saw something. Do you know that Jesus Christ, our Lord, told us what Abraham saw? Did you know that? Yes. Listen, Jesus said this to the Jews. He said, Abraham saw my day. Think about that. He saw my day. Oh, listen, what day did Abraham see? Right here in verse 4 that I just read. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place far off. Now let me give you the scripture, John 8:56. Your father Abraham rejoiced. In other words, danced, leaped for joy. Why? To see my day. And listen, and when Abraham saw it, he was glad. He was glad. Now listen, There's thousands of years that separate that. Amen? Jesus said, before Abraham, I was to the Jews. They didn't like that one very much. What did Abraham see? He looked at the place of sacrifice. Jesus said, he saw my day. Listen to me. He lifted up his eyes. He saw the place of sacrifice. And what did he see? He saw Calvary. With all my heart, I believe that. He saw a vision. I don't know how. Jesus said he saw his day. And he saw the Lamb of God. He saw the only sacrifice for man's sin right there on the cross. And you know what happened? You know what he did? You know why he kept going? Why he kept moving forward? I'll tell you why. Because he saw the Messiah. He saw the one who, the sacrifice for the sins of the world, and it did something to him. He lifted up his eyes and he saw. Here's what he saw and here's what he did. He did Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Do you understand? Whenever you're going through a crisis, what are you looking to? Man, listen, we'll never go through a crisis like Abraham, will we? Did he fail? He didn't fail. He looked unto Jesus. He says, oh, no, I see it. He saw my day. He saw my suffering. He saw all of it. He saw it before anyone else. Can you believe that? Even in Galatians, it tells us that Abraham had the gospel preached to him. And I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. Listen, you got to get this part right here. Look at verse 19. It says, so Abraham returned with his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt there. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Look at it again. So who returned? Abraham. Well, where in the heck is Isaac? Come on. He just told him, we're going to return. He told us, we will be back. You know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger or what? You know? We'll be back. Yes. Now, no. And I say, why is there no mention of Isaac? You know why? Because Isaac is not mentioned again until Genesis chapter 24, verse 62. Why? Because Isaac is getting ready to meet somebody. Isaac is a type of Christ, amen? And who does Isaac meet in Genesis 24? Her name is Rebekah. That's the name of my wife. Her name is Rebekah. And boy, they fall in love, and she's the bride. What does that refer to? The rapture. You see, Jesus, Isaac, didn't go back. It's a picture for us. Matter of fact, if you went to the next chapter, Abraham will use his servant like to go after the bride, and that's like a picture of the Holy Spirit, but I don't have time to get in all that. And I say, oh, Lord, that is so good. So the next great event that could happen today is the catching away of the church. Now, I know it's time to go, but let me just finish one more thing. I fall short. We have all fallen short. How is it that Abraham can do all of that and we seem that we can't even trust the smallest promise from God? God will never let us down. Never let us down. We let him down, but he'll never let us down. Do you understand? I mean, the smallest promise. You know, I mean, God has already promised in his word, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never relax my hold upon you. I will never leave you without support. No, never, God says in his word. Why do we not just take the promises of God and just rest and say, I believe them. I believe them. God, you said it. That's good. It's living water. Bathe me in it. Amen? Why? What's wrong? We have to believe, loved one. This may be the last generation, and if we don't stand on the promises of God, we're going to be in trouble. If we don't believe the promises of God. Loved one, listen to me. What if we just take one promise before we depart? Just one promise from God and just believe it right now, because some of you need to believe this. Just this one promise. Romans 8:28, just that one promise. For we know. That means we know, we know, we know. We're past knowing. I'm persuaded. We know that all things, not some things, not a few things. We know that all things work together for good. Not all things are all things good. No, they're not good. And there's a lot of good. There's a lot of bad. No, he says all things, no matter what they are, all things, he says, work together for good. To whom? To those who love God. There's a category there, okay? Not anyone. To those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose, meaning his plan for your life. Loved one, listen. Some of you need to believe that promise right now. What do you mean, Bill? It says all things. Have you ever been defeated in your life? Have you ever been wounded in your life? Have you ever had your spouse walk out on you in your life? Have you ever just had your children turn against you? Have you ever just felt like you're all alone? It says all things. Every defeat that you've ever had, every mountaintop experience, your victory that you've ever had. Every time you walked on water, you didn't walk on water. Every time you acted in faith and when you didn't act in faith. All things, every detail of your life, if you are in Christ Jesus, loved one, this is God's promise and God cannot lie. Every detail works together for good to those who love God. But you don't understand, Bill, I failed. I failed so miserably. Are you either going to let that failure define you? You might as well put up a tombstone with your name on it then. I'm dead. Or you take that promise and you take every failure that God says, yep, I'm working together for good for you because you belong to me and I'll never let you down. I'll never leave. Never will I fail you. And you take that failure. I sinned. I did that. You take those failures and you take those tombstones and you say now, you kick it over and say, it has now become my stepping stone. Amen. And that's what you do. That's exactly what you do. And there is no other way for a Christian to live. That is the only way that you can live, by faith. For that is the only thing that pleases God. Listen, you are right now on your darkest day, in your darkest moment, you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Amen. You can't walk by your feelings. You can't walk by what you see. And if I did that, I'd be in some place. They'd be taking care of me. No, listen, we have to believe God. We have to believe His word. We have to act upon His word. We've already won. Let's act like we've already won. Amen? Listen, Jesus is coming. He really is coming. And every eye is going, no, not in the rapture, but the second coming they will. But, it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. It's going to be so quick. It's going to be instant. Then all of a sudden, you're going to be changed. I mean, you talking about a cool body. I got it. I'm ready to go to In-N-Out now. Don't you love the Lord? Can we thank Him? Amen. Father, as we bow our heads and close our eyes and every Christian praying, I would be amiss not to close our service and not close it the right way. If you're here, listen, I love you. Jesus loves you. He wants you. He's going to help you. He wants to save you and forgive you every sin. He's already paid for them. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never asked Him to come in your heart, please don't leave. Just lift your hand. You don't have to get out of your chair. Just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to be saved. I want to be saved right now. If that's you, please. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Anyone else, you'll never regret it. You'll never regret giving your heart to Christ. For the ones that lifted your hands, listen, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, today, I want Jesus. I want Him to be my Lord. I want Him to save me. I want heaven to be my home. I want my sins erased. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart. Father, You raised Him from the dead. You promised. And You cannot lie. If I would ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life and believe it in my heart, You would save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, Amen.
Well, from our study today, we learned to trust God with the impossible. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Pastor's study continues tomorrow, and we'll take a closer look at the faith of Moses. So please join us again, won't you? Thank you for listening to Love Never Fails, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.